Today's Shir is Masechta Gittin Daf Mem Zayin. We will begin Be'ezer Hashem Yisbarach on Daf Mem Vav Amid Beis towards the bottom of the Amid at the Mishnah. It says the Mishnah Moicher es Atzmai Vespan of Lev Dekhovim. If somebody sells both himself and his children to Lev Dekhovim, and as we're going to learn in our Mishnah and our Gemara, that he sold, that this happened three times. And the Shoshana L'David makes a point. He says the Mishnah Hamoicher, and doesn't say Mishamocher, says the Shoshana that's speaking about that he sold himself once, but if he becomes it's a habit that he's constantly selling himself, then the halacha is, that's when the Mishnah says you don't have to be paid to him. The Yamsha Shlaima says that what does the Mishnah say about his children as well? So the Yamsha Shlaima explains that the Mishnah is coming to teach us that even though he sold his children, and as we just said, it's something that he's doing all the time, and one could therefore make an argument that why should his children suffer because the father is selling them? Still teaches us the Mishnah, as we're going to learn the Mishnah and the Gemara, that the children also don't have to be redeemed. So again, Amoichas Atzmas Banav Lev Chavim, Epoid Naisam, while they're alive, we don't have to redeem them, because all that will do is that it'll cause them to sell himself again. But Lachem Avil Poid Naisam, we do redeem the children, Lachem Misus Avodim, that after the children die. So to say, the Achroinim debate. What does it mean when it say Ein Chayovim? Does it mean that we're not obligated to redeem them, but we may redeem them? Or does it mean that we're not allowed to redeem them? And I saw it's actually a Machloikus Achroinim. The opinion of the Mayim Chaim is, Sefer Mayim Chaim, is that what the Mishnah means to teach us is that we're not obligated to redeem them, but if we want to redeem them, we may so do. And on the other hand, I saw that the Beis David's opinion is no, that the whole point of our Mishnah is to teach us about Menei Tikkun Olam, is to teach us different rules that were instituted for the benefit of the world. And redeeming them when it's going to cause that he'll just sell himself and them again is something that we don't want should happen. And because we specifically don't want it to happen, not only don't we have to redeem them, we actually may not redeem them. Teaches us the Mishnah. Amar Rabasi, teaches us the Gemara, as we explained. For who, when our Mishnah says that we don't redeem them, it's referring to a situation, Shemachar, Vishana, Vishilesh. He did this three times. So since he did it three times, that's why we stop. We don't do so. So, of course, the Chassam Sofer and others ask, we know that there's a mitzvah deraisa, opinion shvuyim, that we're obligated to redeem somebody who's kidnapped. So how can we now say that we're not going to redeem them because they did it so many times? So the Chassam Sofer says that what's the reason, why is there such an important mitzvah, opinion shvuyim? So he explains that the reason for opinion shvuyim we're concerned that this person should not get assimilated. But this person who keeps on going back, obviously is going to get assimilated. So the whole purpose of the mitzvah is to avoid the assimilation. We're not accomplishing any way. Another pshat, as we've discussed often, is the Chachamim have a right to absolve us from a mitzvah b'sheval taisa. They can't tell us to actively violate something that it says in the Torah, but the halacha is b'sheval taisa, just not doing something the Lada institute. And that's the case here. It's b'sheval taisa. They're telling us don't free them, but not that they're telling us to do everything, something specific. The Michas Chinuch, however, has a very different approach. The Michas Chinuch's approach is that who has the mitzvah midaraisa opinion shvuyim, and that are the close relatives. And he wants to suggest that perhaps indeed the close relatives continue to have a mitzvah to be poida to redeem these people. When our Gemara speaks about Mishnah, Gemara say that we don't have an obligation to redeem, he wants to suggest is that there's a new mitzvah, that the mitzvah pinyin shvuyim doesn't only apply to the close relatives, the mitzvah pinyin shvuyim applies to everybody, that was expanded, that applies to everybody, and now we're learning that even though it was expanded and it applies to everyone, this case where the person keeps on doing it over and over, then the halacha is that the mitzvah wasn't put into place. But it could very well be that the family members do continue to have the obligation to redeem them. Moreover, the achronim certainly differentiate between the redemption of the father who keeps on doing this versus the children. And he wants to suggest that maybe on the parent, we are going to take this rule not to be paid to them, because he's the one that keeps on selling himself. But we may take for the children, again, given the circumstances, that they should be redeemed because they are sort of innocent. Says the Gemara, Hanu b'nei Bei Michsi, that there were individuals who lived in the town called Bei Michsi. The Yasvi Ziyufi, they would borrow money of the Kachavim, for like have a and they didn't have the means to repay. Also, so they came and they took them as slaves. Also, kamei derafuna, and they came to Rafuna that they should be redeemed. Amlu mai evelechu, what should I do for you? The Tanan hamoicher is atzmai v'espon of life dekachavim. If you continue to do so, ain't poyden I say. If you sell yourself to life dekachavim, we don't redeem you. Amlei rava. Amalei Rav Abba, Rav Abba asked Rav Huda, but limaratani Rabbeinu, haven't you taught us that this halacha only applies for who shemach of a shan of a shilish, if it happened over and over again? Amalei, so Rav Huda said, that's exactly the case over here. Hani, marga regila davdi hachi. These people do this on a regular basis. And because they do this on a regular basis, that's why I said they shouldn't be redeemed. And the Truma Sedeshin points out that even though these weren't people who voluntarily sold themselves, these were people that fell into debt, and that's why this happened. But because this kept on happening on a regular basis, says the Truma Sedeshin, and I saw that the Paiskim Paskin this way, that the halacha is that's why they shouldn't be redeemed. Why did you put yourself on such a regular basis into such a situation? Who gathered the Zav and Nafsh Ludoi? There was a person who sold himself Ludoi. Most Rishonim explain the Ludoi were cannibals, people who ate human beings. There are those that say that they weren't cannibals, but they were people who would sacrifice human beings for Avodah Zarah. So again, says the Gemara, so that person came to Rav Ami. Amalei Perkon, redeem us that we shouldn't suffer. Amalei Tanan. Amalei, so Rav Ami said to this individual, didn't we just learn in our Mishnah? Hamoichas Atzma is born of life to Kachavim. If somebody sells himself and his children to life to Kachavim, Ein Poidim Oison Avapoidim Asabonim, we do after the father dies redeem the children, Mishum Kilkula, because we're concerned that the children should not get assimilated with the Akum. Kashken Hacha, and certainly here we should redeem us, Dikik Tala, because we certainly have to be concerned that they're going to kill us, because as we said, the cannibals, when they take the children, they bring us to Avodah Zarah. Amalei Rabbanu Ravami, Hai Yisrael Mamahu. This person is a Yisrael who went against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. How do we know so? We saw that this individual is an individual who eats Nevel Satrafis. And therefore, we certainly shouldn't have an obligation to redeem them. Amalahu says, Ravami, how do we know there are two types of a mumer? There's a mumer lahachis, somebody who deliberately violates what it says in the Torah, and there's a mumer l'tayoven. So he says, a mumer lahachis is a din, indeed, an individual who the halacha doesn't obligate us to redeem. But a mumer, because he has separated himself from the Jewish people. But a mumer l'tayoven is somebody who just can't overcome his desire to do something wrong. He's still part of Klal Yisrael. Amalei, so Rami said, this individual is a mumer l'tayoven, and since he's a mumer l'tayoven, he should still be treated as a full-fledged Jew that we should redeem. Amalei, so the Chacham said to Rami, why are you labeling him as a mumer l'tayoven? We saw there were opportunities that he could eat kosher meat and non-kosher meat. So, and still, the shavik hetera was a surah. Still, he chose to eat the non-kosher meat. So such a person, the Chachamim were arguing to Rav Ami, is a mumer l'tayoven. He, in l'dahachis, he didn't do it just because of a desire. Amalei Rav Ami said, zil. He told this individual, I can't help you. They're just not letting me redeem you. So Tosfos Masechet Avodah Zarah, based on this Gemara, says that from here we see that there's a serious halachic difference between a mumer l'tayoven and a mumer l'hachis. But the Rishonim go on to point out what is going to be the halacha if somebody, unfortunately, is a mumer l'hachis, but he's not a mumer l'hachis for all the mitzvahs. He's only mumer l'hachis for one specific aveira. So the Yoreim's opinion is that even if somebody is a mumer l'hachis for one aveira, that's enough to make him into a mumer l'hachis. And the Taz brings a raya from our Gemara. Because the Taz says, the only aveira that we saw in our Gemara this person violating is the aveira of eating non-kosher. So that isn't an indication that regarding all other aveiros, he's a mumer. Yet, says the Taz, we see from our Gemara, the fact that he just violated one aveira was enough to consider him a mumer l'hachis. But says the Prisha, that even though we're saying that somebody who violates aveiros deliberately is considered a mumer l'hachis, that doesn't mean that it's only if he does it on a regular basis. But an individual who not on a regular basis does these kind of aveiros, we're not going to consider him, he says, a mumer l'hachis. It's interesting, here we're seeing how Chazal was so strict about mumer l'hachis, particularly in the aveira of eating non-kosher food. Rabbi Yitzchak Zilberstein Shlita discusses in a Sefer Chashukei Chemed a very interesting discussion. He says that there's a person who works as a security guard. And the question that he was asked was, there's a religious person and he was offered a position to be a security guard at a non-kosher restaurant. Is one allowed to take on such a position? And he says that certainly one should not accept such a position. He says accepting such a position represents that you're supporting that type of a situation, even though you're not really serving the non-food. But he says you're certainly supporting that type of a situation. Not only does he say it's considered that you're supporting that type of a situation, but he suggests that it's certainly considered a chilul Hashem for somebody to participate in that type of a situation, and since it's inappropriate for anybody to, it's a chilul Hashem for a religious person to take such a position. Says the Gemara, Reish Lakish Av Nafshe L'Doi. Reish Lakish sold himself to the L'Doi. If we know that the history of Reish Lakish originally was not a Shomer Torah mitzvahs, and then he became a Shomer Torah mitzvahs. And the question is, when did this story take place? Most Rishonim, Tosfos, explained that this story that he sold himself Ludoi happened before he became about Tshuva. However, there are those that suggest that he was already about Tshuva, and what he was trying to do was he knew who these people were, and in his responsibility to recognize who these people are and the way these people are, then that's why he wanted to eradicate them, and he sold himself to them, as we'll see in the Gemara. So again, says the Gemara, Shlokis Zov Nashal Adoy, Shok Vadei Chayis VeGilgultai. He took along with him a bag that had in it a stone and a half a stone. Amma Negmiri, he says, I know that what they do is the Yom de Basra, on the last day before they're about to kill their victim, called the Bayiminei Avdilahu. Whatever they ask, whatever they want, they'll do. Kehecha Delecha Dome, because they wanted that the person who gets killed should blood should be redder, should be tastier. And the way Rashi and the Aruch explain, a person who dies satisfied is the individual who will have redder blood, will be better tasting. Yom Basra, so that exactly happened the last day before they were about to eliminate him. Amalei Mai Nichloch, what would you want us to do on your behalf? Amalei Be'ina Naktinuch V'Sunchu, I want to tie you up. V'Kabin Ad Menaychu, and every one of you, Amche Chai Sapalga, I want to give you a slap. I want to hurt you with this bag. Kol Chabinayu, every one of them, Kamachia Chad Chayosai, after he gave them one patch with this bag, Nofek Nishmasai, they die. Chakina L'shinai, and as they would die, they would groan. I'm like, you're laughing at me. I still have a half a stone. And that's how he killed them off, all of them. And Nofek Vasa, and that's how he was able to escape. So it says the Gemara, another thing that we see about Rish Lakish. He used to eat and drink, and he didn't spare any money on whatever he wanted to have. Amalei Barte, so his daughter said to him, Lebas Midel Mezgalei, don't you need something to sit on, to rest on? You're spending all your money on food. Amalei said to his daughter, Biti, crazy curry, I am heavy, and my stomach is what I could rest on. Says the Gemara Kenach Nafshi, when Rish Lakish passed away, Shava Kavad Marika, all that he left over was a small container of spice. Kara Anafshe, and he was upset that he even left over that much. Kara Anafshe, Azul Acherim Chelam. He left over for others. In other words, his attitude was, there is no point to leave over any Yerusha. So, the Mefarshim, of course, try to understand the story. They try to understand the story, how Rish Lakish put himself into danger by selling himself to these cannibals. So I saw, it's well known that Rav Elya Chaim Meisels was the Rav of Lodz. And after he became the Rav of Lodz, he was very famous. That one of the things that he always did was that he was most concerned for the welfare of the people who lived in the city. And he used to sort of complain that because he was so involved in taking care about the people in the city, he no longer had the time to sit and learn as he would like. And then he learned this Gemara. And he said, let's think about this Gemara, although we mentioned that there was actually Machloikis when this story happened, when did it happen? Before Rish Lakish became Baal Tshuva, after he became Baal Tshuva, he wanted to suggest that this story happened after Rish Lakish became Baal Tshuva. And after Rish Lakish became Baal Tshuva, he realized that his obligation is to take care of the community. And he saw that there was a problem in the community, that there were people, there were ludoi, there were people who were cannibals, there were people who were oivdei avodah zarah. And what he did was, because he saw such a situation, he sold himself to them. He was willing to put himself into danger on behalf of the community. And because he was Seder Bel Yochai Meisel, that gave him a lot of consolation, that he rose, that he recognized that the responsibility of a Gol B'Yisrael is to think about the community, not just think about himself, even if it means selling himself to the cannibals. The Panovich Rav, when he learned this Gemara, would say an incredible story. He says that Panovich Rav learned by the Chofetz Chaim, as did Rabbi Chanan Wasserman Zatzal. And he says they were once sitting and learning, and they needed a sefer that was a hard sefer to find. The yeshiva where they were learning did not have that sefer available. But they figured that the Chofetz Chaim must have the sefer, because they knew that the Chofetz Chaim quotes that sefer in the Mishneh Berurah. So if he quotes it, he must have it. They came to the Chofetz Chaim, and they asked the Chofetz Chaim, "You obviously have the sefer, may we borrow it?" And the Chofetz Chaim says, "I don't have the sefer. When I wrote the sefer Mishneh Berurah, I went to Warsaw, and there was a very wealthy Jew in Warsaw. His name was Rabbi Yaakov Broidy. And I borrowed the sefer. He had this beautiful library, and I learned in his library. I borrowed the sefer from the library, but I don't have the sefer." And the Chofetz Chaim then said to them, "I don't have many svarim." And he says, "Even the svarim that I have, I regret that I have them." And they couldn't understand the statement that the Chofetz Chaim just made. And the Chofetz Chaim saw that they were sitting there puzzled about this incredible statement. So he says, "I'll explain to you what I mean." He says, "Svarim cost money. And svarim that cost money, money equal time. Because you need to have time to earn the money to buy the sefer." He says, "Time is life. What is the most precious commodity that we have? Time. Because everything else that we have, we could be replaced or could be something that we could do without. Time is the most precious commodity. And therefore, every second," he said, "is most valuable. And every second should be used for learning Torah, for doing mitzvahs. But of course, we need to live. And because we need to live, we have to take from our time to earn money to be able to provide for ourselves and for our families. But obviously, the minimum, we should only do the minimum with the time and money that because we really should be using our time for other purposes." Says the Chofetz Chaim, "If I need to spend money on Sfarim, I'm going to have to give up from that time. I don't want to give up from that time. If I need a sefer, I could borrow the sefer from someone who has it." And he said, that's pshat in our Gemara. The Gemara says, "Kinoch Nafshei," when Rish Lakish passed away, he didn't leave over anything. What's pshat that he didn't leave over anything? He didn't leave over anything because he said, "I didn't want to waste the precious moments that I have on doing anything but spending them on learning and doing mitzvahs." And he says that even that container of spice that I left over, he said, that meant I didn't have to have it because it was left over. And that's why he was upset that the time it took to earn that container of spice, he could have used that time for other more useful purposes. The Ben Yoyada has a different pshat. Here we have a person, he says, who lived his life but left over very little. So most people would be very upset that they lived a life and all they could show at the end of the life is just that they only left over a small container of spice. Rish Lakish says, "I'm satisfied. even though I did not leave over many worldly possessions, so I could say, how much did I accumulate in this world? I'm happy with what I have. I'm not dissatisfied with anything that I'm missing. Says the Mishnah, if somebody sells his field to an Akum, which of course is Osir, because the Pasuk says, Loisichonim, and the Gemara Masechta Avodah Zarah, Daf Chof Amar Aleph teaches us, Loisichonim, Loititilam Chaniya Bekarka. So somebody sold his real estate to an Akum, the Loch is Loikeach, or maybe Mene Bikurim. We know that the first fruits every year have to be brought as Bikurim. Says the Mishnah, he still has to go back and buy the first fruits, even though it may cost him a lot, in order they should bring as Bikurim. And the reason is, says the Mishnah, Rimnei Tikkun Olam. The reason is, we don't want people to sell property to the Akum. And if the cost of selling property to the Nochri is that I'm going to have to go buy back this property, that's going to be a deterrent for people to sell property. Amar Abba, Api, Shein Kinyan Lev Dekham V'Eretz Yisrael, even though Lev Dekham don't have the ability to own property in Eretz Yisrael, Lafkia B'dei Meiser, that by their ownership of this property, we shouldn't be mechuyev to give trumas and meisers. Shenemar, as the pasuk says, for Eretz Loi Tzimach L'Tzmisus, we may not sell the property forever. Kali Ha'aretz, and we learn from here, Li Kedushas Ha'aretz. The Kedushas of Eretz Yisrael remains under all circumstances, and therefore the Nachri's purchase of this property doesn't give him the ability to take to be absolved from Trumas HaMaisers. Avyesh Kinyan Lev Dekham V'Eretz Yisrael, but when a non-Jew buys property in Eretz Yisrael, he does have the financial authority to do on the property whatever he wants, build and dig. Shenemar, Shemaim Shemaim LaShem, V'Aretz Nosel L'mnei Adam. Rabbi Lazar disagrees. He says, Afa Bishesh Kinyan Lev Dekham V'Eretz Yisrael, even though the Nochrim do have ownership in Eretz Yisrael, Lafki M'dei Meiser, they take away the obligation of Trumas and Meisers. Shenemar, the Pasuk says, Reishis Digon Cha, which speaks about the Tfuah of a Jew, V'loi Dogon of the Kovim. But Tfuah, produce that belongs to Akum, is not obligated in Trumas and Meisers. Avil Ein Kinyan Lev Dekachavim Eretz Yisrael, he doesn't have that level of ownership, to be able to do what he wants, whatever with the property. Shenemar, Lashem Ha'aretz L'Meloyoi, it belongs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who gave it to us, Klal Yisrael. And therefore, says the Yavetz, that before somebody would sell a property, according to this opinion, if somebody is selling a property in Eretz Yisrael to a Nochri, he has to stipulate that the Nochri is not allowed to make any physical changes to that property. And moreover, the Chasam Sofer says that amongst the Zayin Mitzvahs B'nai Noach is Gezel, that a Nochri is not allowed to steal. And says the Chasam Sofer that not only obviously made a Nochri not steal because it's from the Zayin Mitzvahs B'nai Noach, but points out the Chasam Sofer that unlike by Jews, Azorosam Zuy Misosin, for any of the Zayin Mitzvahs B'nai Noach that a Nochri violates, he's Chai Misa. So therefore suggests the Chasam Sofer, if a Nochri does violate this deal and does dig in Eretz Yisrael when he may not do so, the halacha will be that the Nochri will be Chayiv Misa for Geneva. Says the Gemara, B'mai Kamifki, what is the Machloikus of Rav and Rabbi Lazar? Ma'asov the Goncha. Rabbi Lazar's opinion is that when the Pasuk says the Goncha, we learn from the Goncha V'loi Degan Ayv the Kachavim, and there is no Chayiv Trumas and Maisris on the property of Eretz Yisrael. Or Ma'asava, the Goncha means the Gunecha. That means that in order for produce or for anything to be chayv and Trumas and Maisers, is that the finishing touch of the work on it had to be done by Yisrael, v'loy digun ayv dekachavim, and not through an ayv dekachavim. Amar Rava, Menah Minila, Says Rava, from what is the basis for me to take this position? To Tanan. The Mishnah Masech the Peyo, Perik Dalad Mishnah Tes, that discusses Matnas Aniyim. So we know Leket, that anything that falls, as the people who are harvesting the field, they fall out of their hands, or Shikha, anything that was forgotten, or Peyo, the Aloch is we have to leave over a corner for the Aniyim. Shloiv T'Kachavim, they belong to the Kachavim, Chayavim B'Maisa, Elm Kain Hifker. Unless the owner was mafker, but otherwise, the halacha would be that there's chi of trumas and maestris. Hechidami. So now the Gemara drills down. What is that Mishnah referring to? Says Rabbi Elam Yisrael. If it's talking about a case property of Eretz Yisrael, and the Yisrael did what he's supposed to do, that he left over like a shechem peyah, v'lek tinu ovikachavim, and then ovikachavim. Collected the like a shechapeya and sold it to Jew, and then the halacha is that that Jew has to take off trumas and maestris. Says the Gemara, Elam Kain Hifker, that all you need to do that you have to be mafkerit. What do you have to be mafkerit? Like a shechapeya is automatically hefker. Hamafkir v'kaimi. They're already in the status of hefker. No need to be. There's no need to be mafkerim. Elalav David Kachavim. We're speaking about field that belongs in Akam. V'laktinu Yisrael. And Jews collected it like a shecha peya, where the Jews, where the Nochri was not obligated in leaving over like a shecha peya. And therefore, tam, so now the question is, are they chayiv trumas and maestris? So now let's says Rabbi, let's understand the Mishnah. If he was mafgerem, so then, there's no chiv maisris if there was mafkerem. Haloi hifka, if he wasn't mafkerem, even though the lekas shechem peya, but since the nochri is not obligated in lekas shechem peya, the halacha is that they're not hefker. So we see, isn't this a proof that there is no lekas shechem peya by a nochri? Loi. Says the Gemara, loyum de Yisrael. The field belongs to Yisrael, and the Yisrael left over in his field lekas shechem peya. And then Ovik Chachavim collected it. Or the Kamri, but the question was if they're real leka shechopeya the mafker v'kaimi, so they're ready hefker as leka shechopeya. Says the Gemara, they are considered hefker. All leka shechopeya, says the Gemara, is indeed considered hefker. But when is it considered hefker? Only when it was taken by a Jew, because since the leka shechopeya that were picked up by a Jew, that's why the halacha treats them as hefker and you're not chayiv. But if the leket shechu peya, they were not left over for Jews, then they're not hefker, and that's why trumas and maestris would have to be removed from them. The Yaris Tavash, based on this Gemara, says we could understand a pasuk in the Megillah and a Gemara Masech the Megillah. The Gemara Masech the Megillah, Daf Yud Beis Amun Aleph, teaches us that the pasuk says v'shtia kadas. The pasuk says that when Achashverosh made his banquet, shtia kadas ein oynus. And the Gemara explains melamed shekol echad ve'echad hishkiu yain shamidosai. Everybody was served wine from where he came from. So he says, what was Achashverosh thinking? He says that Achashverosh knew that property that's owned by Nochrim in Eretz Yisrael are still chayiv in Trumas and Maestris. But even though they're obviously chayiv in Trumas and Maestris, there's no assumption, we cannot in any way assume, that the Nochri took off Trumas and Maestris. And since we cannot assume in any way that the Nochri took off Trumas and Maestris, so that wine from which the Trumas and Maestris were not removed, remain tevel. And the halach is, if Yisrael consumes tevel, he's chayiv misa. And that was exactly what Achashverosh tried to accomplish. What Achashverosh tried to accomplish was that the nachrim, that the wine that the Jews drank by his banquet, was Israeli wine. He knew that's what Jews like to drink. They like to drink Israeli wine. And he knew
that there was that Israeli wine was tevel, and like that the Jews would drink it, and be chayiv misa for drinking tevel. That was his sin. That was his sinister plot. Mm-hmm. Says the Gemara Toshma. The Gemara wants to bring a raya that a Akum does not have ownership in Eretz Yisrael to absolve him from Trumas HaMaisrus. Toshma, the Brisa says, Yisrael shalokach sodom ev k'chavim. If a Yisrael purchased a property from a Nochri, actually v'yishlish, before the property, whatever grows on the property grew a third. And then the Jew continued to own it. V'chazor la mishav v'yishlish. And then he sold it to the Nochri after it grew a third. Chayevis meiser. At that point, there's a chayev meiser. Shekfanes chayva meiser. It was already kfanes chayva. It was already chayev meiser from when it was in the Jew's ownership. Neschayva in. So we see from here only because it became a third grown under the Jew's ownership. That's why that property is obligated in trumas and meisers. But had the Jew not owned it at the point when it grew in a third, if that wouldn't have happened when it was under the Jew's control, it wouldn't be chayiv meiser. So we see from here that if a non-Jew owned property in Tisrael, there is no chayiv in trumas and meisers. So the Mashah asked the obvious question: if the point of this brisa is to teach us that we look at what point was it owned by a Jew, why did the Brisa have to tell us that it was first owned by a Nochri, then by a Jew, and then owned by a non-Jew? The Brisa could have told us that we have a property that was owned by a Jew, and we have to look at who under whose ownership was it when the produce became a third grown. So Mashah says a very nice teretz. Mashah says, as we said earlier in our shir, the halacha is that a Jew is not allowed to sell property in Eretz Yisrael to a non-Jew. So says the Mashah, if the case of our Gemara, the case of the Brisa, was where a Jew owned property in Eretz Yisrael and he sold it to the Nochri, and now the question is, at what point was the tefuah grown a third? Was it before the Jew sold it or after the Jew sold it? There would be a fundamental issue here. The fundamental issue we would have here is that how was the Jew allowed to sell his property to the Nochri? A Jew, we said, Lois Achanim, is not allowed to sell property to the Nochri. Because of that, explains the Mashah, when is there a halacha that a Jew may sell property to the Nochri? A Jew may sell property to the Nochri in a case where the property was originally the non-Jews, and then the Jew purchased it, and then the halacha is he's allowed to sell it to the Nochri. So in order to avoid the problem of how was this Jew allowed to sell the property to the Nochri, the Brisa tells us that the case was that originally was owned by a non-Jew. A property which was originally owned by a Jew may sell to a Nochri. But isn't this a raya that Nochri's property are not chayim and trumas and maisers? Says the Gemara, Hochma Ma'iskinen, this Brisa is speaking about Surya. And this Mandomer, going back to the Gemara we learned earlier, is that Kibush Yochid, Loishmei Kibush. Surya, which was only taken over by Dovid HaMelech, there the halacha is Kibush Yochid, Loishmei Kibush. And I saw that the Sefer Shemesh Shmuel teaches us. We know that it's a Yisrael is the holiest place in the world. And Eretz Yisrael is the place that we want to infuse with Kedusha. Teaches us the Gemara. In order for proper Kedusha to be infused in Eretz Yisrael, you need to have the Koyach HaRabim. We have to have all of Klal Yisrael participate. And says the Gemara, Kibush Yochid, if we're trying to infuse Kedusha in Eretz Yisrael only through Yochid, through individuals, Lashmei Kibush, that will not be an effective means of bringing Kedusha into Eretz Yisrael. Tashma, Yisrael Vav Tchavim, Shalach Hestad B'Shutfis. Yisrael and an Akum bought a property in partnership. So we have produce grown in this property. Teva v'chulam meravim zabezeh. Says the Gemara that every this property, this produce, has teva v'chulam mixed together. And what this Gemara means to say, a concept that we often discuss in Shas, is the concept of ein breira. In other words, after they divide the produce, and we could say that the produce that was taken by the Jews was always the Jews. And the produce that's taken by the Akum was always the Akum. And the Jew will take off Truma and Maaser from his portion, and the Akum won't. No, because we hold Ein Breira, we hold that every kernel has Yisrael and Shut and Akum mixed together, and therefore, Teva v'chulam Meravim Zeh B'Zeh. Divrei Rebbe Yishim Gamaliel Omer, we say Yesh Breira. And whatever the Akum ultimately takes, Selav D'Chavim, we say always belong to the Akum. We say retroactive designation, which what we explain Breira always means, was always the Ovid Kachavims. And since it was always the Ovid Kachavims, it's not Chayiv and Trumas and Maaseres. And whatever the Jews got was retroactively, obviously, his all along, and it's Chayiv. So says the Gemara, as we just explained the Breisa. Atkan lepligi, as we understand this Breisa, the Machlokes here is, the Masover, Rav Shimon Gamliel's opinion is that we say Yesh Breira. Or Masover and Rebbe's opinion is that we say Ein Breira. But Avad the Kula Alma, everybody's in agreement that Yesh Kenyan Leif Kachavim, it's a Sroel, that if we know something belongs to the Akum, there's no Chiv Trumas and Maaseres. Answers the Gemara, the same tense as we had a moment ago. Hachnami, we're going to explain that this Breisa is speaking about Surya, the Kesover, and this Tana is of the opinion that Kibush Yochid Loish Me Kibush, and this if there's no Chiv Trumas and Maaseres in such property. Amar B'chibarov. Toshima, Hamaychas Sadeh Leif Kachavim. We learned in our Mishnah, if somebody sells property to Leif Kachavim, Lekeach, he has to buy back from the property, from the Akum, the first fruit, and bring them as Bikurim, Neitikim Oilim. So we see that this was a special rule, Neitikim Oilim, because as we said, we want to discourage people from selling property, and that's a Yisrael, to Akum. So we said, you're not going to really profit, you're going to have to sell that prop, you're going to have to still bring Bikurim. But clearly, that this is a special rule because of Tikkun Olam. Have a Midaraisa, Loi, that there's no Chi Bikurim from property that belonged to Jew. Omer of Ashi says the Gemara that the Chiv really is Midaraisa. So if it's a Chiv Daraisa, the obvious question, why does the Mishnah use the word Mnei Tikkun Olam? Says Rav Ashi, Shtei Takanasava. Mikara, have a Maisa. Midaraisa. They would bring the Bikurim as there is a Chiv Daraisa. Kivin the Chazi, the Kamakri, Mazamni, the people were selling property to Avichavim, the Savri, because they felt the Bekudish Sai Kaimri, there's no problem in selling property to the Akum, because they figured that even if they sell the property to the Akum, it still retains its Kedusha. What's the proof that it retains its Kedusha? It's still Chayiv and Bikurim. The Kinalu de Loilaisu. They made a rule that the property should not be sold, that they don't bring Bikurim. And by making that rule that they shouldn't bring Bikurim, that will help the people to realize that what they're doing is lowering the level of Kedusha of that property by selling it to the Akum. Kivin de Chazi, the Mandalay Sagile, that somebody who doesn't have enough income, Mazbin, would sell his property, Kamishtakabav de Chavim. And this didn't serve as a deterrent from selling property to the Akum. So therefore, Hadira Turkinu, they went back and said that they should bring Bikurim, not because it's a Chiv Drabonim, it's a Chiv Daraisa, but because there was a point where they had stopped bringing Bikurim for such property, and now they reinstituted it because of Tikkun Olam. But really, it's Mechuyim Daraisa. When somebody brings Bikurim, part of the mitzvah is to do the kriya of the parashas Bikurim. As the pasuk says, you read the whole parasha, you say, Vata ne, hine yevesis reshis pri adoma shenasata li. Says the Mar Itma, hamoichas adei l'peiris. If somebody keeps the right of the ownership of the property, but he sold the rights to the produce, the peiris of the field, the halach is that to somebody else. So the question is, do you bring Bikurim and do you read the Parsha Bikurim when you bring such property or not? The sugya we begin now is the sugya of kinyan peiris. If somebody owns peiris, the right to the peiris of a property, is it a kinyan aguf? Is it considered like you own the property or not? Rabbi Yochanan may be the kairi, the person who bought the peiris rights to the property, not only does it bring bikurim, but even he says the pashto bikurim. The Shlokish Amar, Shlokish's opinion is maybe he will have to bring bikurim, have a vein of kairi. Rabbi Yochanan may be kairi, because his opinion is, as we just said, kinyan peiris ki kinyan aguf dami, that that's considered full-fledged ownership. And that's why you read the pashto bikurim. The Shlokish Amar may be vein of kairi, because his opinion is kinyan peiris laf ki kinyan aguf dami. Eisle Rabbi Yochanan may Shlokish, the pasuk in the Pashas Bikurim says, "The samacht b'chol atoyif, ashenos l'cha Hashem l'kecha ulevei secha." And the pasuk ulevei secha taught us, "Melamich adam mevi b'kurei ishtei." If somebody's wife owns property, that the property is nixei melug, which we say properties that the wife brings into the marriage, that are really owned by her, and the husband just gets the payers. The halach is that the husband mevi b'kurei. The kairi. So we see that even though all he has in this property is a kinyan peiris, he still says the pashas bikurim. Says the Gemara, that isn't the raya. Amay shani hasam deksiv ulevei secha. The Torah explicitly says that in such circumstances, maybe the kairi. But it could be in other circumstances where all you have in the property is a kinyan peiris, you wouldn't be kairi. Ikadamri. Hossam, isn't this a proof? Because there the pasuk says ulvei secha. That's why, even though all you have is a kinyan peiris, you're kairi. But under normal circumstances, if all you have is kinyan peiris, ava ba'alma, lo, you would not do the parshas mikra bikurim. Amalei tam didi nami mehachin nafka. I'm saying that just like we see there, that from your wife's property, maybe the kairi, that's a raya, that's always maybe the kairi. Eisvei, another braisa. The braisa says, hey, baba derech, if somebody's on the way to the base of Migdosh, ubikirei ishta biyodei, the bikurim of his wife's field in his home, the shama shemesa ishtoi, and he heard that his wife passed away, and now a husband is the yorish of his wife, and since the husband is the yorish of the wife, that's why he now owns that property. That's why maybe the kairi. Isn't this a proof that because Mesa, only because his wife is no longer alive, and he now owns the actual property in, that's why he's kairi. Isn't this an indication, loy Mesa, if she hadn't died, and all he would have was a kinyan peiris, loy, he wouldn't be kairi. Isn't this a proof that for a kinyan peiris is not considered ownership? Says the Mahug din afgav de loy Mesa. It doesn't make a difference. Even if he only had a kinyan peiris, he would be kairi. So why did the Bryce have to talk about a case of Mesa Itzchalei? We would think that if his wife died, because what Rabbi Yosef Bechanina taught us, he should not be allowed to be kairi under those circumstances. What does that mean? Don't Rabbi Yosef Bechanina. Batron, if somebody cut the bikurim, the shigron, and sent them to the Beis HaMikdash, biyat shliach, through a shliach, umeis shliach bedarach, and the shliach passed away, maybe ve'ena kaira, and then he brings the base of English, maybe ve'ena kaira. Shenemar, v'lokachto, mereshes kopri adam shatovi ma'atzecha. The Torah could have said, ve'vesa, but the Torah added the word, v'lokachto, to teach us, achte l'kicha v'ava be'echad. The same person should be the one to take them and bring them. So here, we would say, that when his wife died, in the middle, so at the beginning he was maybe only considered a shliach. And then when his wife died, he becomes the owner, so he's not playing the same role. And since he's not playing the same role, he's not anymore considered, he doesn't have the right to bring, to say the parashas bikurim, kamash malon, since he is still the same person from beginning to end, he's maybe the kairi. But that has nothing to do with the question if kinyan peiris is kinyan aguf or not.